Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The title of my talk today, as you can see in your bulletin, is called Every Secret Thing. This is something that I have been deeply impressed about, and I think that's probably what most ministers and teachers do, is they read the Bible themselves, and when the Lord convicts them of certain things, then they share those things with others. And that's what I want to do. Every secret thing. It's based upon Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. So why don't we read these two verses and then we'll have a prayer. These are the words of Solomon, the last two verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every what? With every secret thing." Right, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Father, thank you for this time to study the Bible, to study about secrets, the secret things, to see what your word says, and hopefully, Father, we pray that we will each of us be convicted on the inside of our hearts. Lord, there's things that you see that nobody else sees, but you see them all. Everything is naked and open in your sight. And we just pray today that your presence will shed light into our lives and that you will use this sermon, use this message to raise us up a little bit higher, and may we completely surrender not only our actions but our minds and our hearts and everything on the inside completely to Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, take over and bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, every secret thing. People love secrets, don't they? How many of you like secrets? When a little kid, little boy says to a little girl, "I've got a secret. I want to tell you a secret." Normally the ears just, you know, light up. Or they perk up. Eyes light up. And people just can't wait to hear some secret. Isn't that right? Got a secret. Secrets imply inside information. Secrets imply hidden knowledge. Secrets imply knowing things that, generally speaking, other people don't know. And to learn a secret, it just appeals. It appeals to us that we can learn something that hardly anybody else knows. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 also talks about things that are secret. Down at the end of verse 14, every secret thing. Now before we get there, I want to look at the context, because the best way to understand the bottom of verse 14 is to really get a grasp of the context in 13 and 14. So let's just take a look at this and analyze this. Verse 13, Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Fear who? Fear God. Right. He starts out by talking about God. Now, God is the supreme being. God knows everything. God sees everything. There is nothing that is outside of the knowledge of God. He's up there. He sees me. He sees you. He knows I'm preaching this sermon right now. He knows a billion times more than we do. And he reveals a lot of what he knows in the Bible. Now, God is not just up there, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, but he is also incredibly moral. He is a pure God. He is a moral God, and he has standards. And if you keep reading there, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep His commandments." Keep His commandments. Now, those commandments have to do with God's moral law, God's standard of right and wrong. Just quickly, maybe I'll do a little test here. Who knows the first commandment? What's number one? Okay, Candace, what is it?
Thou shalt have no other gods.
Okay, good. She gets an A for that one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says He is to be first in our lives. That's number one. Okay, number two. Who knows number two? Okay, right. Don't make any representations of God. Don't bow down to any statues, any idols. Right, that's number two. Okay, number three. Got number three. All right, I heard it. Right, Mark. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Right, it has to do with honoring and respecting God's name. Okay, number four. Remember the Sabbath. Right, Carrie's got that one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it how? To keep it holy. Right, okay, number five. Right, honor thy father and thy mother. Right, that's definitely one we're going to teach Seth. And teach him, but I got a little lesson, a little note here. I'm sorry to read this, but just a little bit ago, it said, Steve, Kristen went home. Seth is too fussy. Please get a ride home or call to get one. Call to get, and I'll come and get you. So I guess I can go home with Brooke. With Brooke. He's staying in our house. Anyway, honor your father and mother. Kids need to learn this commandment. It's extremely important to honor our parents. So that's number five. Number six. Who knows number six? Thou shalt not kill. That's right. Killing. And Jesus said that doesn't only apply to the actions, but how else can people kill? Right. By hating. Hating. Hatred in the heart is also murder. Okay. Number seven. What's number seven? Yes, Jessica. No? Yeah, that's number eight. That's number seven. Yes, in the back there? That's right. Good. You shall not commit adultery. Right. And that has to do with the faithfulness in the marriage relationship between husbands and wives. Specifically, sexual purity. That's number seven. Okay, number eight. Jessica, you've got that one. Right. Thou shalt not steal. Right. Meaning not to take anything that belongs to somebody else. Okay, number nine. Who's got number nine? Okay, right. Good. You shall not bear false witness, which basically means lying, saying things about other people that aren't true. Right. Okay, now how about number 10? Last one. You shall not covet. Right. Covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Right. And coveting specifically deals with things that are in the heart. Right. Probably more than any of the other commandments, covetousness is only something that is on the inside. So those are the big 10. God's Ten Commandment law, and His law is a moral law, and His law applies to every area of life. Every area of life, every relationship for all of us. And that's why Solomon says here, fear God and keep His commandments. And then he said, for this is the whole duty of man. And I thought about that word duty. What does duty mean? Something you owe, okay? What other words would go along with duty? Obligation, yes. What was that?
Task or job.
Task or job, right? I guess so, if we have a duty to do a task or a job. Duty is an obligation. It's a responsibility. It's a requirement, isn't it? Duty is a requirement. And this verse says that keeping God's commandments is the whole duty of man. Now, if you look at the word man there, you see in verse 13, there's man and there's God. Right? It says, fear God. And then it says, this is the whole duty of man. And the reason why God can tell man what his duty is because God made man. Right? That's the reason. That's what gives him the right to give us a law. That's what gives him the right to say, put me first. Don't bow down to any idols. Don't take my name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't lie and don't covet. God has the right to hold us up to a moral standard, His standard, the because he's the one that made us. Does that make sense? And that's our, it's our duty that we owe to him to keep his commandments. The whole duty of man. And when it says man, that applies to everyone, man or woman. It's generic. And it applies to Steve Wahlberg as a minister. That's my vocation, ministry. It applies to those of you that are doctors. It applies to farmers. It applies to mechanics. And I just listed a few things here. Clerks, realtors, brokers, secretaries. If you're in sales, finance, if you're a technician, an administrator, if you have some kind of a trade that you do, if you're a teacher. Jessica perked up there. If you're a father or a mother or a brother or a sister, a wife, a husband, when you look at these commandments, they deal with every single area of life, no matter what our vocation, whether we're nurses or whatever we are. These commandments apply to us all. And it is our duty, it is our moral responsibility, our obligation in the sight of our Creator to keep these commandments. Now, what's the opposite of keeping? Breaking. Right? We either keep or we break. One or the other. There's no, we can't not keep and yet not break. There's no third alternative. We're either keeping them or we're breaking them every day. One or the other. So that's the context here of our obligation to God. Now if you go down to the next verse, verse 14 says, "For God, who gave us His law," it says, "God will bring every work into what?
Judgment.
Into judgment." Right. God will bring every work into judgment. I'll tell you a secret. Although it's not really a secret, but it's something that most people don't know. In fact, if most people knew this, they would live different lives. If the world knew this, the world would be different. The secret is that there is a judgment coming. There is a judgment day. And God is going to bring into the judgment two specific things that are listed in this text. Two specific things. What's the first thing He's going to bring into the judgment? Verse 14 says, "God shall bring every work into judgment." So that's the first thing. Now what are the works, quote unquote? What does works apply to? Right, works applies to our actions. What we do. The things that we do. God is going to take all the things that we do and He's going to bring them in to the judgment. It's a solemn thought. That's what it says. That's what it says. That specifically has to do with our actions. Now, there's something else God's going to bring in. God's not just going to bring in every work, but what else is He going to bring in? He's going to bring in every secret thing. Right. Wow. Every secret thing. Now, as I've thought about this, I've done a little study on this. I've discovered that the word secret is actually from a Hebrew word. And the original word is alam. Alam. And it means things that are hidden. That's what it means. The hidden things. The secret things. The hidden things. Now, as I've studied this in my Bible, I've discovered that there are, just like there's the works and the secret things, there are really two kinds of secret things in the Bible. The first kind is in Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Two kinds of secret things. And let's look at verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. This is what Paul wrote. He said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So there's the word secret. But these secret things in this verse are talking about actions, actually. They're talking about things that people do. But they do them in places where not very many people see them. Okay? So these are actions that people do that are hidden from most other people. And the context obviously shows that these are bad things. Paul says here, "It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." There are plenty of things that are being done in this world behind closed doors in all kinds of places that are too shameful even for me to mention, even for me to talk about them, because they're so bad. And there's a lot of things out there that are going on in this world like that. This was not something that I planned on doing, but it hit me. This is not a Bible that I normally preach from. Somebody gave this to me a couple of years ago. And it's just been sitting on my shelf, and I decided to use it. And it was actually as I was getting this sermon ready that I looked closely, and I remembered. It says here, "This is a Holy Bible presented to Steve Wahlberg, pastor." And it mentions the church in Springtown that I used to pastor from, the Springtown Church. And then it says, "It was given to me by Kevin Hall." And it gives the date there, 11-8-02. Now, this means nothing to you, but this means a lot to me, because Kevin Hall is now in jail. He's behind bars. And he's going to be behind bars for a long time. Many, many, many years. And the reason is because he was doing things that you don't even want to talk about, connected to people in his own family. And he was caught, and he was arrested, and he was tried, and now he's in jail. And it's a tragedy. Those are secret things, very serious things. God's going to bring all these things into the judgment. Now, so that's one kind of secret thing. Are the bad things, the immoral things that people do that most people don't see. But there's another kind of secret thing. Now let's go back in our Bibles and let's turn to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. And this is what I really want to focus on. This is what I've been impressed about. Psalm 44, verse 20 and 21. These are the real secret things. Psalm 44, verse 20 and 21. I believe this was David that wrote this. He said, "If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of what? Of the heart." Right? This is the King James Bible I'm reading. "He knoweth the secrets of the heart." Now, these are secrets that don't have to do with actions at all. They don't have to do with us doing things behind the scenes like Kevin did that nobody knows about. This is talking about the secrets of the heart, which has to do with the inner world. The world of your thoughts. The world of your heart. The world that nobody knows about except you. At least no human being in this world except for you. This is the world that even your husband or your wife or your parents or your kids or your pastor or your best friend, they don't really know what's going on in the inner world. The secret things. And you know, I'm glad that we don't know what's going on in everybody's minds. Aren't you? You know, I don't really want to know all the secrets that are going on inside of you. And I don't really want you to know all the secrets that go on inside of me. The secret things of the heart. Those are the things where if somebody asks you, how are you doing today? And you say, just fine. And you smile. But nobody really knows what you're really thinking. You might not be fine at all. Those are the things where you might talk to somebody and you might smile and say nice things about them. But on the inside, in your inner world, the secrets of your heart, you're thinking all kinds of thoughts about that person. That person is this or that or this or that, you know. You know what I mean. Those are the things where if we look at other people, certain people maybe that maybe not aren't as well off as we are. Maybe they don't have the things that we have. Maybe they don't have as nice of a car or as nice of a home. Or they don't have things going so well like we do. And then we look at them and we talk to them and then we start thinking all those other things about them that, you know, we put them down. And we don't value them maybe like we should. Those kind of things. Or on the opposite side, if we see someone that has more than we have, they've got a nicer car, they've got a bigger house, and we wish we had what they have, and we start thinking all kinds of thoughts. Those are the kind of things where maybe you're married or maybe you're not married. And you see someone of the opposite sex that is attractive. And then you start thinking all these thoughts. And you can talk to somebody. You can shake their hand. You can carry on a conversation right there. And be thinking all kinds of things that if those things actually came out and the other person knew what you were thinking, my oh my. Be a big revelation. Quite a revelation. And that's where Jesus talked about if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already in your heart. The secret things. And God knows all the secret thoughts and the secret motives that go on inside the inner world all the time. The things that nobody else knows, the Lord knows. Have you ever heard that phrase? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all the time. But there's somebody that we can't fool at any time. Right? And that's God. As verse 21 says, and I want you to be impressed with this. I want you to be impressed with this. That He knows the secrets of the heart. Okay? Are you impressed by that? He knows the secrets of the heart. Praise the Lord, He still loves us. Even though He knows the secrets of the heart. But this is something God wants us to do. Now, to know. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The Lord knows the secrets of the heart. Verse 14. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Solomon said, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing." I think it's probably true that we tend to think that when the judgment comes, and I think probably all of us believe in the judgment, I would imagine we do. We all believe in these verses. I think we tend to think that when the judgment comes, God is just going to look at our actions. Do you think we think that sometimes? The Lord's just going to look at what we do, and He's going to then judge those things. But this verse tells us that that's only half the story. God is not just going to look at the things that we do. God is going to bring into the judgment the secret things as well. That's what it says. He's going to bring both in. And then notice the last part of the verse, verse 14. He's going to bring in every secret thing, and then He's going to decide whether it be good or whether it be evil. See that? Whether it be good or whether it be evil. In other words, those secret things, the inner world, the thoughts that we think that nobody else thinks, those secrets of the heart, God looks at and He classifies as either good secret things or evil secret things. And He's going to bring those things into the judgment, and then He's going to decide, are those things good or are those things evil? If they're in harmony with God's law, with His moral law, then He's going to say they're good. And if they're out of harmony with His law, if they're breaking His law, then He's going to say they're evil. And that tells us that the battle between good and evil is going on inside the thoughts. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? We normally think that it's just our actions, whether our actions are good or bad. But this verse says that God's going to look at the thoughts, the secret things, and then He's going to say those things are good or those things are bad. And those things are coming into the judgment. And that tells us that the Lord wants to deal with those secret things inside of our hearts. A lot of times I think we think it's only my actions that count, but I can think whatever I want. Do we tend to think that way? My actions are important, but whatever I'm thinking, hey, that's my world. That's my world. I can think whatever I want, and it doesn't make any difference. That's not true. The thoughts can be good, or the thoughts can be evil. And it's obvious when you look at this verse and think about this, that the Lord, if we are thinking evil thoughts in the secret world, that those are things that we should be rejecting. We should be rejecting the evil secrets of the heart. And we should be cultivating thinking things that are good instead of bad. When I first became a Christian 25 years ago, the Lord definitely started working with me specifically by working on my actions. And there's things that I did that I used to do that I don't do anymore, that I did as a teenager when I was growing up in the Hollywood Hills. There's definitely things that I'm not even going to speak about. Like it says in Ephesians, things that shouldn't even be spoken. And I don't talk about those things. I confess them to God. He knows. And if we confess, He forgives. He forgives. And then there were other things that were obvious. I used to smoke more than one kind of thing. A number of things I used to smoke. And the Lord dealt with me in those things. And now I don't smoke anymore. I used to drink a goodly amount of alcohol. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I drank quite a bit of beer and other things. with my buddies. And the Lord dealt with those things, and I don't drink anymore. Those things are gone. I used to swear a lot. If you can believe that. I had a really bad mouth. And so did my friends. So did my buddies. I hung around with them, and you know, we rubbed off on each other. And a lot of things would come out of my mouth that they don't come out of my mouth anymore. They don't. I remember not long after I became a Christian, I was going to college, to La Sierra College, and I was with a group of Christian friends. We were sitting up on a hill one afternoon just talking together. I'd been a Christian for a couple of months, and I said a word that I didn't really think was that bad of a word, but it wasn't a good word. I don't even remember what it was, but I said something, and he looked at me, and he just said, one of my friends looked right at me, and he said, "Christians should not talk that way." Now, praise the Lord. And I wasn't offended. I didn't say, "Who are you to tell me that?" I thought, you know, you're probably right. You're probably right. It was kind of one of those borderline words. You know, it wasn't a swear word, but it was still a word that's not really an appropriate word to use. And so I used it, and he said, "Christians don't talk that way." And I thought, "You're probably right." And I don't use that word anymore, whatever it is. I don't even remember what it was. But I try to stay away from those borderline words. And as I look back, I know that God was working with me on my actions. You know, my habits, my practices, my smoking, my drinking, my swearing, other things like this. That's the way God was working. But as I continued on as a Christian, God began to go deeper. He dealt with a lot of the actions, and then he started focusing on the secret things. He started focusing on the inner world, on the things that other people don't know, that nobody knows except for me. It reminds me of the classic Star Trek line. You probably remember it. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. And they go, they boldly go, where do they go? That's right, see, you know it. They boldly go where no man has gone before. Right, they boldly go where no man has gone before. And as I've just thought about that line, I remember when I was growing up, I've concluded that the final frontier is the secret things for a Christian. That's the final frontier. God deals with the actions, but then he gets in, he boldly goes where no man has gone before. And he goes down into the inner secret things, and he starts working with us there. And impressing us that those inner things, in his sight, are either good or they are evil. They're good or they're evil. And both are coming into the judgment. And that just has convicted me that as God is dealing with me in this area, that I'm not just thinking about the things that I do, but I'm thinking about my thoughts now. I'm thinking about what I think. And when I lay in bed at night and there's thoughts going through my mind, I think to myself, scriptures like, he knows the secrets of the heart and he's going to bring the secret things into the judgment. And I'm dealing with this. And I'm wanting to bring those things to God. So that if there are secret things in there that are not good, I want to, by His grace, overcome them. Because I fully know that when the judgment comes, I'm going to be responsible for everything. Not just my actions, but my inner thoughts. Some of you that are doctors out there, maybe you'll be able to correct me on this. I'm not exactly sure. But from what I understand, medical technology has become so advanced that if you have like kidney stones or gallstones, that they don't even need sometimes to do surgery on you. They don't even need to cut you open. They can just shine a beam into your body, right? A laser beam into your body and hit the stones. Is that correct? Is that true? Sonic beam? Okay, so they can do that. Now, I don't imagine that they can do it now. Maybe you can correct me. If you have a heart attack, or if your arteries are clogged, has technology advanced so far that they can go right into your arteries without cutting you open and just beam away the cholesterol like they can beam away a kidney stone? Don? Yes? Are they getting there? They can. That's an amazing thing. Probably one of these days there won't be any more such thing as bypass surgery. They won't need to lay you down and cut you up and go into your arteries and open them up. All they'll do is lay you down, and then some beam will come right in to the cholesterol and the clogged arteries and remove them. Isn't that amazing? And as I've thought about that, I've thought that's what God wants to do to us spiritually. He wants to just send in the beam right into the arteries of the mind, and he wants to clean it out. Clean out the secret things that are bad, so the only thing there that's good. Now, I've just got a couple more texts, and then we'll wind this up. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. How is God going to do that? What is his beam that can get into the heart and even change the way we think? Change the secret things. Well, he does have a beam, and it has to do with the word secret. It's part of a secret weapon on God's part. A secret weapon against sin. God has a secret weapon against the secret evil things. Romans chapter 16, last chapter. Did I say 15?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Does God have a beam that's powerful enough to get into our secret thoughts and take away the evil so that we think the good? What do you think? If God is dealing with these areas, if he's going that deep, if he's going to bring those kind of things into the judgment, then don't you think he has a solution for that problem as well? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if he's going to hold me accountable for my thoughts, the secrets of my heart, and if he's going to bring them into the judgment, it would just make perfect sense that he's made provision to deal with those very things. He can deal with my actions. Why can't he deal with those things? He can. Romans 16, 25 says, "Now to him that is of power," and that power is like the beam, the laser beam, "to establish you according to my gospel," the gospel according to the good news, "and the preaching of" who? "Of Jesus Christ." The preaching of Jesus Christ, "according to the revelation of the mystery." And if you look at the context there, the mystery is the mystery of Jesus Christ. The mystery of the gospel. And then it says, "the mystery which was kept" what? "Secret since the world began." This is God's secret. And then it says, "but now it is made manifest." The secret of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been kept secret from the beginning of the world, that secret has been made manifest. And this is talking about, you know, God has secret things too, doesn't he? He has secret things in his own heart. The secrets of his heart. The secrets of God's heart have been manifest. And those secrets have to do with the incredible, infinite mystery of the depth of his love which has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And the incredible lengths to which he was willing to go to get his laser beam inside of us and to get a hold of us and change our lives and bring us to him. Now, if you go back to Romans 5, here's just a couple of quick verses. This is the beam, the secrets of God's heart. Romans 5, verse 8. And then verse 5. 8 and 5, and then we'll go back to Ecclesiastes and we'll wind this up. Romans 5, verse 8 says, God commendeth his what? His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, it says Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were doing the actions, and while we were thinking the thoughts, all those things, all those secret things, the things that are too shameful to even talk about, the things that I wouldn't even mention, the kind of things that put the man who gave this Bible to me behind bars, the kind of things that could put you behind bars, if those thoughts inside your head, you know, all the thoughts inside your head, if every thought inside your head came out, you know, we'd probably all go to jail. If every thought inside everybody's head came out. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we think. But in spite of all of it, in spite of all the secret things that everybody thinks, that you think, your life, your thoughts, everything, God has demonstrated his love for you. So much so that it says he died for us. And that secret of God's heart, of his love for us, was revealed when Jesus Christ came through the preaching of the gospel, through his life and death and burial and resurrection. And if you go back to verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad, where? In our hearts. See, that's where the secret things take place, isn't it? Remember we read about the secrets of the heart? There's the secrets of the heart. And here it says, God's love is shed abroad in the heart. There's that beam, that laser beam of his love and his compassion and his mercy toward us, even in our sins. That love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. And as I've thought about all this, I've come to the conclusion that the solution to my inner world and my inner problems is to open up my heart to receive the beam of his love and his mercy and his compassion and his goodness, and have it penetrate me so deeply that it will burn away the cholesterol and the sin and the evil and the darkness and whatever those thoughts are that I think that are bad, that are evil. And that beam has power to do it. Doesn't it? It's got the power to do it. The power of the Holy Ghost. And when something holy comes into the mind, it can change the inner world. Amen. It can. It can change the inner world. There's a verse in Corinthians that says that the Lord can bring every thought into obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, I think it's verse 4 or verse 5. Every thought can come into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 12. And we will summarize the conclusion of the whole matter. The bottom line of life. The bottom line of everything. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every, not most, but every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the way to overcome the evil is with the good. Amen. And the greatest good is the secret of God's heart that was revealed 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave His life for you and for me in spite of all of our sins. In spite of every thought, every act you've ever done, He still loves you. And may that love, like a laser beam, get into the final frontier of our inner worlds. So our hearts and our thoughts become good and not evil. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Father, I'm preaching this sermon to myself and to all of us here. And Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will go deeper and deeper and deeper and show us that even the secret things are fully open to Your sight. And Lord, help us, because we cannot take out the cholesterol. We can't burn out the stones. We can't take out the evil, but only You can. And the best way that You do it is by revealing the secret of Your love, Your incredible love that motivated You to give Your Son to die for our sins. Lord, please purify not only our actions, but even our thoughts, so we can stand in the judgment, not in our own righteousness, but in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.